Today on Wings, the story of Radio Mama in Uganda.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Hi, this is Frieda Worden. At the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters Conference in November 2010, I met Margaret Sentamu, Executive Director of the Uganda Media Women's Association. She told me the story of their station, Radio Mama FM.
So, here we are at the AMARC 10 conference, and I'm Frieda Worden, and my guest is...
Margaret Sentamu, and I work with Mama FM. It's a women's radio in Uganda and an association for media women in that country.
Which came first, the radio station or the organization?
The Association of Media Women came first. It was born in 1983, and in 1996 we started having a contact place, writing proposals, coming up with different projects. And the radio station was founded, and it went on air in 2001, in August.
So your station is already more than 9 years old. What happened at the beginning? How did the women organize it?
It all started with a need for the women in Uganda to have their issues addressed by the mainstream media. It was found at that time that the mainstream media in the country was sidelining our issues as women, and they were concentrating on politics, and only the people who could afford the media could be heard on the radio. So Uganda Media Women's Association thought that by using their skills as women journalists in the country, they could try to go out in the rural areas and seek out for the voices of the women. And then they started broadcasting the information that they collected from the rural areas on the national broadcasters. But of course, it was not so easy for media women to control or to determine whether actually the information that was collected from the rural areas would go on air. So we thought that by having our own media, whereby we would be in control and own it, then we would determine that our issues could get on air. So we started with a feasibility study in 1999, and then we established that yes, despite the fact that there were about 40 radio stations at that time in the country, there was still space for a women-focused radio station in Uganda. So around 2000, we consulted and we did other studies. Then we started fundraising. And then the process paid off August 21st, when we had the station going on air. But it has been a process and lots of hurdles that we had to overcome.
What are some of the issues that you collected information from the rural areas about?
The issues are rotating about the daily life of women, daily lives of women. There are issues to do with environment, there are issues to do with access to information, there are issues to do with access to incomes, to control their sexuality, to really be heard. And we felt that women have been marginalized, and they were not in the public sphere. They were still in the private sphere. So we thought that by giving them a platform for self-expression, they would air out their issues, and then possibly the government, the policymakers, wherever they were, would be listening in, and then the impact on those actions.
So I can't resist asking you next whether the policymakers did listen in or do listen in.
I would say Sometimes, yes, they have actually listened in, because in addition to the radio station that we have, we also have other projects that are in the rural areas. We have projects such as participatory planning and monitoring for women in the rural areas. And this project is aiming at giving women, local women in the rural areas, information on national policies and also national government. National programs in Uganda normally are put in big documents in the capital city, and rarely do women in the rural areas get to know about them. So by giving them this information, and also by trying to train them in participatory planning and monitoring, you give them the power to question, you give them access to these particular programs. So when we talk about this particular program, actually we call it the Get Smart Rural Women's Project. When women are trained, they're given this information, they're given the means to question, they're given means to monitor, they end up putting government officers to account. So at the end of the day, you see that the national policymakers actually are listening in, and they are actually knowing that out there, the local women are not ignorant as they used to be, but they are actually a watchdog of government programs. So I'm saying that to some of the programs, yes, policymakers are listening in.
So can you give me an example of a national program in Uganda where you did this kind of education and the women started to participate in planning or hold the government to account?
One of the examples of the programs, number one, is before a national budget is read out in June, not many stakeholders take part in this, least the local women. But I'll tell you that since 2003, when we launched the program that I've been talking about, the Get Smart Rural Women's Project, you increasingly started seeing local women participating in budgeting processes at the sub-county level. And the sub-county officers who used to think that the women cannot contribute to these programs, it is now them looking out for the women's say. They keep on asking, where are the Get Smart women? What is their view? So you end up seeing that women are now participating in budgeting processes. Then the other program is called the Plan for Modernization of Agriculture, whereby the monies come from the center and it goes to the local areas. You see that now the women are actually monitoring what kind of monies or how much money is coming from the center going to the different sub-counties. And if it is money, maybe if it's a grant from the central government, which is going to a local school, which is meant to dig a pit latrine or construct a classroom, the women will now start monitoring, has the money come in? How much is it? Is it doing the right thing that the government said it is doing? So at the end of the day, you see that the women are actually monitoring government funds at the sub-county level. And one of the challenges that some of these women are facing is the fact that their children in those particular schools where the women are monitoring the funds are getting a bit of a problem from the headmasters. So the headmasters look at the children of the women like, you know, they are also spies. So they tend to be caned because they belong to the monitoring group of the women. So you see that conflict, but for me, I would think that it is a positive conflict, because now the headmasters know that there are local monitors within the localities. Then the other program is called the...
Wait. You said that they tend to be caned. You mean the headmasters of the school are allowed to beat the children?
Yes. You'd say that the headmasters are not allowed to cane, but it is some kind of punishment. So the headmasters actually retaliate. They tend to say that, okay, it is your mother who is reporting us to government, that we are stealing government funds. Then I'll cane you so that your mother gets into our problem. But you'll see that even these women whose children have been caned for the wrong reasons, they keep on being resilient and they keep on monitoring government efforts at the local areas.
Wow. So you said there was another area that you were just about to talk about.
Yeah, the other program is called the National Agriculture Advisory Services, the NADS program. This is where government, again, provides extension workers with information which they're supposed to execute or take to the rural areas. In many times, the government extension workers, they don't take their jobs seriously. But because the women, I'm talking about the Get Smart Rural Women's Project people, were trained in planning, knowing which government comes when, and they are also told that it is not a favor from government, that the government officers are actually paid to do their job. So the women keep on monitoring, and they are like, you know, where have you been? We need this service. And if the government officer says that I don't have the time, then the women will remind him or her that actually you are paid to do this kind of job. So you provide us with some information on agriculture extension, for instance, or what kind of fertilizers. And also, this particular program also has got a component of microfinance. So women now know that they can access some microfinance or some loans from government through these government office extension services. So really, actually I was trying to talk about the Get Smart Rural Project and the Mama FM. So you tend to look at the different programs which are actually rotating around information generation and exchange and also dissemination.
So I want to know a little bit more about how the FM radio relates to these programs. Are you telling information to the women on the air, or are you calling out the government officials and saying so-and-so is not doing their job? How do those two work together, the Get Smart program and the radio?
We have a staff of volunteers working at Uganda Media Women's Association. They work on the radio, they work in the rural areas, they work in other projects. Even we also have a newspaper called The Other Voice. Actually, The Other Voice actually targets policymakers because it is done in English, and we get this information or issues or gaps or concerns from the local women. We put them in the newspaper and we distribute it through the national daily, and also we give a copy to each member of parliament, minister, and embassies. In addition to lobbying government on behalf of the women, because of the concerns that we have gotten from the rural areas, we also provide developmental information, for instance, on agriculture, on which market the women can access on the radio, for the women to listen in. But in addition, we publish pamphlets and we distribute it to the local woman in the districts where we are operating. So we do information generation, disseminate it, And then we also do the lobbying on behalf of the women through the newspaper and also through the radio.
Hmm. So the radio is in the local languages?
Mama FM is basically done in a local language called Luganda, and that is the main language that is spoken in the country. But in addition to that, we also do two other local languages, and also very little in English, because we know that Mama FM is listened to by the ordinary person who unfortunately does not know English. So we have to concentrate on the local language so that we can communicate effectively.
Who goes on the air?
We have volunteers. I would say most of them are not trained journalists. They are school dropouts. But they, when they come to Mama FM, they are oriented into basic radio production skills and presentation. But also in addition to that, we have what we call Mama FM Fans Clubs. Mama FM Fans Clubs are found where Mama FM reaches. You have like about 15 or 16 districts where Mama FM reaches. So in each of these districts, you get people who religiously listen to Mama FM. And every year, they hold what is called a general assembly. So out of the general assembly, they elect a board. You can call it an executive committee, which executive committee liaises with the presenters of Mama FM. And through the executive committee of Mama FM Listeners Clubs, they get people who come and co-present with the trained volunteers on Mama FM.
Wow. So do you have women and men on the air or only women?
Of course, at first, we wanted to have women only on air. But of course, reality strikes and say, you know, you cannot have women only on air, because at the end of the day, you have to work with men. And culturally in Uganda, you need to have, and this in quotes, some kind of permission from the men. So the women have to ask for permission from their so-called husbands, for permission to come and do programs on the radio. But I should mention this, and very specifically, all management positions on Mama FM are filled in by women, and that we are not apologetic about it, because one of the reasons why Mama FM, or why Uganda Media Women's Association were founded, was the reason that women had been sidelined and we needed to come on top so that we can also prove ourselves. So Mama FM, or Media Women's Association, is really a space for women to prove themselves. And once we give positions to men, then I think we would be undoing why the organization was formed.
What kinds of music are presented on the air?
Local music, Ugandan music definitely, and African music, and also European and North American. But basically, the local music dominates. You could say like 90%. We have live musicians coming in the studios, but mostly we buy CDs of these musicians and then we play them on the air.
Is there any role of messaging in the music?
The role of messaging?
So, like, do you put on music that gives particular point of view of the women, or things that are good for women and leave out things that are not so good for women?
Mama FM has got a music policy which states that no music that ridicules women should ever be played on Mama FM. And we also emphasize that music that is played on Mama FM should be proactive, giving a message for empowerment, but not shutting women down. And we keep on monitoring, by the way. Every other day you hear some song that has got some kind of a leaning towards ridiculing women. And then we say, please, don't play that music again. Some men working on the radio, and even women actually, they still play those songs that are ridiculing women. But policy is policy, and we are never apologetic about that. Of course, they don't get happy about it, but of course we say it a little bit diplomatically, that, you know, that music that you played needs to be reviewed again. Then later on, we sit with them and tell them, you know, this message is ridiculing women, and we should not play it again.
Are there women musicians in the area, or is it mostly music by men in Uganda?
I know both men and women are well represented in the music industry in Uganda. So we play both.
So let's talk about your signal for a bit. Someone, when I was in Uganda, someone told me that the radios and the taxis didn't pick up the Mama FM signal. Would you talk about how you've worked on this issue?
Mama FM, when we started, our antenna or the mast was located at a hill, and we would cover about 450 kilometers. But later, we erected our own mast at our home grounds. And by the way, we actually own the premises where we are. So we erected a 60-meter mast. Apparently, this one is located at a little bit at a lower altitude. So now we reach about 300 kilometers, 300 to 350 kilometers. And when talking about the signal, definitely the car radio does not pick Mama FM because it stops at 90 frequency. And yet Mama FM is found at 101.7. However, people who can buy a car radio that goes beyond 90 FM, then they can get us. But apparently also, it also depends on how good your marketeers are. Of recent, I think we are gaining more ground. The fact that now we have a new team in Mama FM, very committed, and they keep on saying that we have to market Mama FM. We have to compete like any other radio station out there. So you get some promotions out in the villages, out in the city, promoting Mama FM. So in terms of reach, 300 to 350 kilometers. Car radio, stop at 90. But those people who can afford to buy a car radio that goes beyond 90, they can still find us.
So do you have advertisements, or how do you support your radio?
Mama FM for a long time has been supported by donors. But the year 2008, commitment from the donors came to an end. And then we had to start afresh. And of recent, I think we have gotten two other donors from Finland. But of course, the radio is a monster in itself, because every other day you get something breaking down, you get so many things. So when you ask me how do we sustain the radio, we have not sustained it. We just came up with a strategy to kind of think through how we can sustain the radio. Number one, I want to say that the human resource is one of the contributing factors to sustaining the radio, because they do not get a salary. Most of them are volunteers. Actually, almost everybody is a volunteer, including myself apparently, because I do not really get a salary. So in terms of human resource, I would say That is one of the most contributing factors to sustaining. Then secondly, some donor money comes in once in a while. Then thirdly, we're also trying to get to government to be considered for some advertisements in the sense that these are educational campaigns on health, sexual reproductive issues, because normally government has got money for educational campaigns. Of recent, currently they are also running election messages. So if we are lucky enough, we can get some little support from government because of that information education campaigns.
So a last question then, just about the governing structure of your station.
Governing structure of our station, number one, the station is owned by the Association of Media Women, meaning that the board of Uganda Media Women's Association, actually, you could say they own it, yeah? But in the middle of there, you get representation from the executive committee of the Mama FM Listeners Clubs. So every other 4 months, they come and review the programming with the programs director. So you would say that there is some involvement of the listeners of Mama FM, but really, most importantly, the station is owned and governed by the board of directors of Uganda Media Women's Association, who apparently they are also elected every 3 years. So at the end of the day, we are looking at the membership of Uganda Media Women's Association, which has got a stake in this radio station, in addition to the quarterly reviews or quarterly representation of the listeners of Mama FM through their executive board.
So, very last question. What does Mama FM mean to you personally?
Mama FM is my baby, I would say. Many times I feel like moving out of the station. And I'm like, you know, once I go away, then in these very bad economic times, the station will also run down. So it's like, you know, Mama FM is part and parcel of me. Even if right now I'm thinking of other ideas, I want to get out of Kampala and go in my home district where I want to start something new. But still, Mama FM is still part of me. Every other day, I think of Mama FM. New strategies, you know, I cry with Mama FM. I celebrate with Mama FM. So, and at some point, I felt like Mama FM is also a monster that is actually eating me, because it has actually drained me. The fact that I don't want it to go down. I want it to stay there afloat.
That was Margaret Santamu, Executive Director of the Uganda Media Women's Association, which runs Radio Mama FM. For more information, or to hear this program again, email wings@wings.org. Special thanks to CJSF FM, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, Editor of Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frida Worden, and this is the Women's International News Gathering Service.